This is Janie, and you are listening to 91.5 WMFO Medford Test Reform Radio. Okay, apologize for the little bit of a rocky start. I was dealing with some volume issues, but nevertheless, we persist. Welcome back to my show. Welcome back to Slime Time. And what a crazy day. Today is our last show of the semester. What? What? Fun tidbit, I actually will be going abroad in the fall, so this is your last time hearing me until next spring. Isn't that crazy? Alright, let's get into it. What song did we just listen to? That was Dreamcatcher. The song is called Bon Voyage. And I was making this playlist the other day, and I realized I have not played nearly enough Dreamcatcher. Okay, so you might be like, that was a little bit of a new sound. Yeah, it is. So Dreamcatcher is, they're like, they're a pretty unique group. They have like, that's that kind of like rock metal inspired sound, and respect to them, they keep it up. For all of their songs, they keep it up, which I really love and respect. Unfortunately, they don't have a huge audience in Korea, so they never quite reach like the heights that they should, but they have a really big international fan base, so that's really cool. So they tour a lot, so keep your eyes out for that if you ever want to see a Dreamcatcher show. I've heard they're crazy live. So you might be like, Janie, what are we talking about today? Great question. We're going to talk about a lot of different things, but primarily, today, I wanted to yap about YouTube, okay? And you might be like, what? YouTube? Yeah, okay, YouTube. Because, so don't worry, I have about 25 minutes of music for us. And that is, in fact, indicative of how much I'm going to be talking. But you know what? Let's just get into our next song first. Our next song is going to be Tap by Taeyong. I've mentioned this before, and we're finally listening to it. So exciting. Let's get into it. Yeah.
Cheese, you make a piece. Not a game, take it. Haji, but you gon' go by keys. Not a gee, daddy, soon up, sunny. I kill get gee. Why you don't take it up, gee, up, gee? I'm saucing, yeah, I'm saucing on you. Dark Mago King spice like a baby lamb. You addicted, I'm addicted, I'm sweating on you. You like to dance, why spreading on the floor, you know. Tap, 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 tapping on me. My dog, get chunk, bong, go, gee, I got you, soak your money. The level is good, I catch you, get up, the market on me. I'm a good dome, more than down.
By Taeyong. I've been listening to that song almost nonstop. Like, it's just, it's so satisfying. I love it. And okay, so talking about YouTube. So basically what I wanted to talk about is, so we're familiar with the idea that K-pop is a multimedia genre category of music. So basically all of that's the regrettable part about playing K-pop on the radio, is that I can't, like, sit in front of you and show you the YouTube videos that go along with them, because I do feel that it's, like, crucial to watch and to listen. So obviously all of these songs have music videos that I highly recommend you go watch. But really, more than the music videos, it's the performances. 'Cause I'm gonna tell you, a mediocre K-pop song, like, just listening to it, I gotta, like, also visualize the choreography sometimes, because sometimes a song by itself is, like, not enough. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, so to give some history, basically, so K-pop as a genre cannot exist without social media, obviously, but, like, YouTube in particular. And part of that is because of BTS. So let's talk about, oh my gosh, guys, I'm so excited. I've been thinking about this all week. Okay. So basically, when a K-pop song, like a mini album, a single, a full album, anything is released, there's a promotional schedule, right? So for example, Tap, the promotional schedule for Tap, and I'm talking just, like, not including the performances. This is just, like, the teaser process, like the right. So the first teaser, I think was released February like 10th, and then the album was dropped on the 26th. So basically, there's this first image teaser, which is like, just by the way, he's dropping music, right? And then they released the promotional schedule, which is usually like a graphic, and it's got like when everything is coming out. And then for TAP, there was three separate concept images. Three separate concepts with like multiple images in each release, so like a photo shoot that was released over the course of 3 days. And this is like very typical, because one thing about K-pop, they're going to have concept images. And a lot of times, the concept images are not going to have a lot to do with the album. They're like very loosely related. Like you can see, I can imagine that someone had a mood board somewhere where like these were related, but like I'm not quite seeing that. So they're not really good indications of like what's going to be in the album. Sometimes they're wearing like clothes that are adjacent to what they wear in the music video, but there's no promises on that. And this is typically where we're teasing any different varieties of albums that are going to be released, because typically artists are releasing like two versions of an album, like for example, like a night version and a day version, where like the photo shoot's different and like the coloring's different, the music's all the same, but it's like, you know, because usually we're having like more than one set in the music video, so we're like representing all of that. And then the highlight medley. The highlight medley is, I don't know if other genres of music do this. I can't imagine that they do. But basically, a highlight medley is usually like a 5-minute video that they release prior to the album that has snippets of all the songs in it. So it's like, get excited for all of the songs on the album, right? And like, obviously, it's like a couple second snippet of the, so it's like not gonna give you the full picture. But you know who's really known for the highlight melodies? Extraordinary Heroes, who I've played before in my band episode, if you listen to that. But they're, because they're like a band and they play their instruments, the highlight medley is only instrumental, which I think is really cool. But anyway, so the highlight medley, and then you get the music video image teaser, right? So it's not a video, it's just an image. And then you get the music video teaser, which is like, you know, 30 seconds, and it's like a video. And then you get the music video, the album release, and then that same day is when the promotions start. So that's like going on TV and like doing the live performances. Okay, so that's just pre-YouTube stuff that's happening. Obviously, all the videos included are on YouTube, but like that's like a very typical release schedule, which is kind of crazy because that's like a lot of content for maybe like what, 5 songs. And trust, with the full albums, you're getting even more than that. It's a lot of content. And TAP is a solo song, so it's like not a lot of material. But if you're getting like 7-8 members, you gotta get pictures of every single member, and then you gotta get group pictures. Like, it's a crazy amount of content being released for each album, right? But then we migrate to YouTube, and let me tell you, this is why I say, like, being on top of K-pop and like following everything that's happening right now is actually like a part-time paid position. Well, it's not paid, but a part-time, well, you're actively losing money position. Because let me tell you, so you have the weekly performances, right? So typically you're watching like at least, I would say, one performance of the song every 2 days, at least, usually more than that. And the promotional schedule is also like 2 weeks long. And we're talking like 30 minutes to an hour of video content released per day, okay? If not more. And it's more nowadays. But basically, because you're getting all of the actual performances, right? There's this YouTube channel called Studio Choom that's like really well known as of right now. But basically, they perform there, and it's like the lights are crazy and the camera action is like super HD, and it's basically like the most HD version of the performance that is shot, and that's kind of become like a typical promotional schedule. Hot tip, I heard artists have to pay to be on Studio Choom, which is kind of crazy. Don't know what that's about. But anyway, that's happening. So that's to say, they have to pay. So a lot of only really artists from like bigger companies are doing that. Like, you would not see Dreamcatcher on Studio Choom, you know what I mean? But you're seeing NCT 127, 17, like, all the boys, you know? And then there's also like they go on variety shows. And interestingly enough, okay, so typically variety shows would obviously be aired on like Korean TV. So like international fans, not really watching that. However, they've started posting all of that content to YouTube, or like a lot of these like TV personalities will have YouTube channels where they'll make separate content just for YouTube. So we're looking at like 30, 40 minute videos just of just like a interview or like a fun game thing, you know? So there's a lot of that happening. And like, interestingly, the gray area between TV and YouTube has gotten like much grayer and much bigger because of this like variety show situation, right? So for example, Seventeen, who is a group that I've played a lot of, and I actually will play more of, they have their own variety show called Going 17 that they produce like in-house. And it used to be just a YouTube series, but then it was so popular that they got a TV contract. So it also airs on TV. So they're doing a lot of that. And they also go on other variety shows. One thing about 17 is they're going to release so much content. I'm telling you, keeping up is work. But I think, notoriously, the group that releases the most content is, in fact, NCT 127. I think part of it is that there's just so many people in NCT that they just have to, like, keep you on guard and be like, don't forget who these people are. But NCT 127 makes so much content. Oh, my goodness. I don't keep as much anymore because, again, I have to, like, go to school. But, like, for the period where I was, like, in it to win it, like the 2021 to 2022, they were releasing. I was like drowning in YouTube videos. I couldn't believe it, which is great when I had nothing else to do. But let me tell you, right now it's a chore. But basically, okay, so that to just establish the importance of YouTube, right? And interestingly, in terms of other social media platforms, I would say the next most relevant was Twitter. But unfortunately, given the Twitter circumstances, that's not really the case anymore. But it was like, Twitter is where all of the like fandom jokes and like all of that like fandom content would come from, and then it would like disperse to the other platforms, right? It's like another big part of like YouTube sustains not only like content from the artists, but also like the general K-pop fandom, because a key part of K-pop fandom, K-pop reaction YouTube videos, okay? That is like the primary way that a lot of people, well, I guess not so much anymore with TikTok, but like prior to like TikTok exploding, that was like the major way that people were getting into YouTube, into K-pop, because like a streamer that you follow or like someone like that would react to a K-pop video, you get intrigued, and then you follow up on that, right? But like a lot of dancers will have YouTube channels where they react to K-pop choreography. There's a lot of like composers, video editors, like all these kinds of people who will like react to K-pop content. And like, even if they weren't originally a K-pop reaction channel, they become a K-pop reaction channel. Because people just love to see other people be fans of what they like. They're just, you know, shout out to the K-pop reaction channels of the world, because they really do so much work. They should get paid for what they do, because they really bring in a lot of new fans. So that's like a huge part. And then not so much anymore, but edits, like making funny edits of like the YouTube content was like such a big thing, especially in like 2018, 2019. Not so much anymore, because no one wants to watch like a 3-minute video on YouTube. You know what I mean? I feel like YouTube, the content is either like you're either getting an 8-minute video or you're getting like truly an hour-long video. It's like a weird dispersal of content nowadays. Anyway, but that really sustained the fandom for a very long time. But now that TikTok's in the picture, things are a little different. And I'm now recalling that I did mention BTS at the beginning of this, which is good, because basically, BTS is responsible for all this YouTube video content. Oh my gosh, they made so many YouTube videos, and like, at the time, I had to say it, but like, no one was making YouTube videos like they were. But like, they were making like behind the scenes videos, they had like a regular vlogging series, they had Run BTS, which is basically like their version of Going 17, and it was first because they did it in like 2016, That's when they started it. And also, BTS actually didn't go on any variety shows at all, like outside variety shows, for many years. I don't know exactly why. Like, I can guess, but I don't know exactly why. But they basically only did Run BTS, which then also got super huge. And you might be like, was Run BTS exclusively aired on YouTube? No. Because there was a platform, a whole separate platform, called VLive. And if you know, you know, okay? VLive's not a thing anymore. But basically, it was like a platform where idols could like go live, and they're like having a VLive, obviously. But there was also like, you could put content on there. And you could like follow certain artists, and like they would like, you know, you'd be updated with all their content, that kind of thing, right? So VLive is, unfortunately, rest in peace, no longer a thing. And you want to know why? Because of HYBE. And one thing about HYBE, the company that owns BTS, they are going to be a media conglomerate, and no one can stop them. They started an app, a platform, if you will, called Weverse. And in the beginning, everyone was like, this is lame. This is lame, because it was competing with VLive, and basically it was like a more specialized version of VLive, where like artists could have lives, kind of, but it was like not very good at the beginning. But it was like you would follow a specific channel, like the BTS channel, and you could like post and whatever, and like BTS would see all of it, and like they could like respond to your comments, and like they would also post individually, all of this stuff. In the beginning, it was just for HYBE artists, so like BTS, TXT, they acquired Seventeen, GFriend, like all of those. And at first you might be like, oh, and I can see the potential dangers of this. Yes, you can. It is, however, there's like an option to hide your message from the artists. And in the beginning, it was pretty much only like the kind of people that respond to like that comment on like music videos and going like, this, you're the best, I love you so much, and like it's like those really long comments of like, this is why they're the best artist ever and the best dancer, and you know, it's like those kind of people. So there wasn't really a lot of like content on Weverse, like nothing was really popping on Weverse, because it was all like the kind of person where you're like, are you a bot responding to these YouTube videos? I don't know, I can't be certain. So it was a lot of that. But when they first released it, there was like a lot of excitement, because it's like, oh my god, BTS is going to comment on my post. And then once people realized, okay, that's not happening, the interest kind of petered off. HYBE sees this and goes, you know what, let's get more artists. But instead of going for more K-pop artists, they initially go for more Western artists. Like Gracie Abrams, which I thought was strange. But at the time, they had first signed with Scooter Braun, and they like first were entering the American market with like serious intentions. So it was like, you know, a thing that was happening, and people were like, eh. And also Twitter was still popping at the time, so it was like, why would we ever go on Weverse when we can be on Twitter, you know what I mean? But then Twitter died. She passed away, and everyone who was on Twitter came to Weverse. And you might be like, I don't know if the platform can sustain that, I don't know if that's a good idea. Yeah, we all thought that, okay? It was a tough transition, okay? But because so many more people joined Weverse, HYBE started adding everyone and their mother to this platform. I don't know how they did it, but basically, they essentially, like, overtook VLive. And people always thought that it wasn't, like, they were adding groups from smaller companies, but people thought they were never going to add, like, for example, anyone from SM because of Bubble. Now, I realize I'm introducing a lot of different apps at once, but just stay with me. So Bubble is essentially, Bubble is kind of sick and twisted, I won't lie. I've never been on Bubble, I've never interacted with Bubble, because it kind of freaks me out. But basically, you pay a monthly subscription, and you can DM the artist. Okay, and I know what you're saying, how does that work? Great question. But basically, the artist, like, post things on their like personal Bubble, and you like pay to have access to that. And sometimes they can respond, they like see everyone's messages, and then they kind of like respond as a whole. I've heard rumors that they can respond directly to you. I don't know how true that is. But basically, you pay a subscription to this, right? So now imagine if you were a fan of a group like, say, I don't know, NCT127 with 9 members. Obviously, you're picking and choosing which members you want, but like, that's a lot of money. you know? And I think the idols themselves have, like, a monthly requirement of, like, how much they have to post in order to, like, you know, keep this platform sustainable and keep people buying their subscriptions. So there's some artists that post, like, one message a month. And there are other artists that are on there every day, telling you exactly what happened during their day, sending you pictures, sending you voice recordings. You know, it's a whole thing. It's crazy. And there were, like, specific Twitter accounts that were dedicated to pirating the content, but which is, like, really not allowed for obvious reasons. So people thought, like, and all the SM artists were on Bubble. So people were like, there's no way the SM artists are going to be coming on Weavers because they have this whole paid situation already set up. Now imagine my surprise when I hear through the grapevine that Hedgehog from NCT127 posted on something on Weavers. What? Because basically what happened is Hybe overtook VLive, so now any lives that are happening on Weavers. I was like, how did they do this when we weren't looking? And like, Weavers has become like the thing. It has become the social media platform for K-pop, which is crazy. Okay, I think back in my day, it wasn't like this at all. But so that always like shocks me to my core a little bit. That they managed to do that, and they managed to get rid of VLive, which was around for like ever. Shivers down my spine a little bit, I won't lie. But yeah, so Weavers is kind of like a big thing now, which is it's just insane. But anyway, so you have Weavers, you have Bubble, you have all these platforms, right? But obviously, introducing into the mix, we have TikTok. And an interesting thing about that is that, so a big part of like K-pop on TikTok now is that you release a song, while you're in the green room waiting to perform for your weekly show, you have to go up to every other artist and be like, will you do the challenge for my song? And then we post it and I'll do yours. And it's a whole thing, right? And so typically a lot of choreographies have changed so that there's like a bit during the chorus where you can easily make a TikTok challenge out of it. So there was that before. It's called point choreography, like a point choreo, where it's like an easy recognizable gesture or like something that can be easily repeated. But now it's like larger segments of the dance. And a lot of people were complaining like, hey, you're making the choreography too easy. It's looking lame. I don't want this, right? So now it's starting to shift. It's starting to shift, especially in the boy group arena. It's starting to shift into, let's make this as difficult as possible and then find the specific artist that can actually do it. Which obviously is causing a little bit of drama in the chat. A really well-known example is ENHYPEN had this song called Pass the Mic, and Jay Park, who is not the most popular with modern audiences, he's like still very like, you know, he does his thing. But he does kind of suck. Interestingly, he, for some reason, did the choreography challenge with them, and he did so bad. He did so bad. Then people made so many memes about it, and then he got his feelings hurt, so he did the challenge again. And it wasn't that much better. So I think after that, artists got a little bit wary, and you can tell that they've practiced in the challenge. But I was like, that literally must suck because you're supposed to be in your green room, like having downtime. And then this guy comes up to you and is like, can you learn my song and do my challenge? And actually, who started this, you might ask? Great question. It was actually Zico with the song Any Song, which was like huge. And then he made a video with Hwasa from Mamamoo where they did like a challenge and it went like crazy viral, and it was during award show season, so he just went up to anyone and everyone and was doing this challenge with them. And then that started this like, okay, when you release a song, you need to have a challenge, you need to have something to go along with it. And a prime example of that is this next song that we're going to be listening to. Okay, get excited, we're listening to music again. We are going to be listening to Cupid by 5050. And if you have been anywhere near Instagram Reels, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, any short form content, you know this song, okay? It's been sped up in most of those videos, which we will also talk about, but I just love this song. It's so fun. And then you know what? We're gonna do a pair two. We're also gonna listen to Earth, Wind & Fire by Boy Next Door. Boy Next Door is a new group from Hybe, and this song, Earth, Wind & Fire, they just released. And when I tell you, this song is crazy. They are skedaddling in this choreography, okay? The song is so fast. But let's get into it. Cupid by 5050.
Baby, 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 get lady 너뿐이야 So hear me May May 널 숨고시고 불러 you You're my earth, wind and fire Earth, wind and fire 외동과 평지 번호는 갈라해 이것저것 진심을 그 say yes oh.
Wasn't that bonkers? Sorry for the kind of crazy switch up. I realized after the song started playing that the mood might be a little jarring. But anyway, that was Earth, Wind & Fire by Boy Next Door. And let's, oh my god. Okay, so a crazy, so, well, okay, so, now let me just start over. A key part of K-pop performances is they gotta be singing live, okay? And obviously this generates a lot of discourse of like, let's see, like the backing removed, like are they actually singing live? Like your faves don't sing live, you know, the whole nine yards, okay? But I will say that a staple of the genre is you're expected to sing live, okay? Which is kind of crazy given the circumstances. The choreography for this song, and when I said skedaddle, I mean it, they are running around, okay? And they perform every single lyric of that song live. Huh? How do you even do that? I don't know. At first, I heard the song, and I was like, surely, no. And then I watched the performance, and surely, yes. They purposely, I think for the first one, they really had those mics up, so you could tell that they were singing live. Anyway, it was a whole thing. Isn't that crazy? So, like, a lot of people... when they are like bagging on artists, they'll like be like, oh my god, they're not even singing live. Or when they do sing live, they're like, oh my god, that's so bad. And I'm like, could you do what they're doing? Could you lift up another person and jump around and sing at the same time? I can't even like walk and talk to my mom on the phone at the same time without getting out of breath. Like, it's crazy. So anyway, haters be hating. Speaking of the live singing, oh my gosh, so Coachella just happened, right? And if we know anything about Coachella in the past, 3 years, K-pop acts have been coming through for Coachella, which I am a huge fan of, because I believe K-pop artists are so well-suited for festivals, because basically every award show is essentially a festival-scale event, okay? But anyway, so was it 2 years ago, Blackpink was on Coachella for the first time? First of all, massive slay. One thing about Blackpink is I feel like a lot of times they get a lot of flack for being more like westernized in terms of like the way they release music and just like generally their attitude, which I don't not agree with, but it's perfectly suited for Coachella. Like, I've never seen Blackpink make more sense than at Coachella. They eat it up at Coachella. They do so good. And, like, they've just got it. And, like, 4, I think, is a great amount for a Coachella performance. Because, let me tell you, AT's performed this year at Coachella. Damn, there's a lot of them. I forgot how many of them there are. There's quite a few of them. There's 8 of them, which is kind of a lot. But Le Sserafim also performed, which was really big for them. Really excited. And there's, as I found out, there's 2 weeks of Coachella. And the first weekend, they got... so much flack. Oh my god, the people were hating because you could really hear their live vocals, and it was a little tough, I won't lie, it was a little tough, okay? But they came back second week with a vengeance, and they were beautiful the second week. You could tell they were a little mad though, and I was like, me too, girl. I'd be mad too, because I can only imagine how long they spent preparing for that. But I'm a big fan of this festival situation. There was also like New Jeans at Lollapalooza. Oh my gosh. And J-Hope set at Lollapalooza. Must have been like a year ago now. I still think about that set. It's crazy. There's a documentary about it called, the album is called Jack in the Box. I forget what the documentary is called. But basically, he was the first to go solo of the BTS members. And he released his album Jack in the Box, which, by the way, mwah, it's so good. That's a chef's kiss from me, okay? My 2 favorite BTS solos, thank you so much for asking, are J-Hope's Jack in the Box and RM's Indigo tied for a very close first. Well, okay, I'll say Indigo is a little bit above, just like music wise, but Jack in the Box is so close to second. Because it's like a completely different sound than we're used to hearing from J-Hope. And you might be, if you're on top of the YouTube game, you might know that J-Hope has recently finished releasing a docu-series about dance, and with it, a small album. And you might be like, isn't that guy in the military right now? Yeah, I don't know how they're doing this, okay? Because last I checked, there was like, when EXO was doing their whole like post-military stuff, during military stuff, like they were, one of the members of EXO had a YouTube channel, and so he was releasing YouTube content, and then he got in trouble because apparently you're not allowed to like make money or something while you're in the military. I don't know how true that is. Maybe it's like a certain amount of money, whatever. But I was under the impression that they would not be releasing any content while in the military. That was wrong. Okay, they're releasing so much content, and I was like, and this is the thing about HYBE, is they're gonna plan things 6 million years in advance. Okay, they must have been recording this content for years before this, like years, because they're dropping songs, they're dropping albums, they're dropping all this. They've been planning this for forever, which is like a very common trend with BTS and with HYBE, because oh my gosh, I think maybe in like 2020 they released an app, so a game, okay, called BTS World, where basically it was like a card-based game where you would like collect cards and then like do little missions, and there were like obviously like images of the boys on the cards, you know, and it was like this whole story that was based on the BTS universe, which I'm sure you've heard me talk about if you've tuned in before. Basically, it's like lore that they have with their music video. It's like based off of that, and also kind of not. It's like adjacent to that. But when they dropped it, okay, people were like, oh my gosh, because they announced it maybe the year prior, and then people forgot about it. And then they dropped it, and people were like, hold on a second, because all of the pictures on that app were from 2017, and keep in mind 2017 before DNA, like 2016, 2017, you know what I mean? Like pre-popularity. So that was even before they started like making waves in the US. So people were like, what were they banking on? Just going, oh no, I'm sure one day you're going to be big enough where we're going to be able to release a video game. Like, what? That's crazy. Anyway, that's one thing about HYBE. They're going to be crazy about that. Let's see. I have 3 more songs. We'll see if we get to them. Because one thing about me, again, I love to chat. Our next song is going to be Boom by NCT 127 off the Neo Zone album, which is my favorite NCT 127 album. Partly because of the promotional schedule. So this is a full-length album, and for every single song on this album, they released a music video. I'll let that sink in. They weren't full-length music videos, they're about 2 minutes each. But full music videos, okay? The promotional schedule for this made waves, made real, real waves, because they dropped a video for every song, and then you could vote on which song they would perform along with the title track. So like K-pop promotional schedule, you have like your main title track, which is like your music video, all of that. And then you have a secondary song that you also perform and promote along with it. And sometimes it also gets a music video. Okay. So in this one, for this album, you could vote. And I voted for Boom and didn't win. Also, they didn't respect the vote and they picked something else, which was annoying. But Boom is one of my favorite songs off the album. It's just so love. I just love it. And so a few other groups have done this since. Not a lot of them, though, because I imagine it's a ton of work. But a lot of voting has been happening. It's kind of like a thing that's popping right now, of like voting. Like ATEEZ does this where you vote on the title track. They release 2 music videos and then you vote on which one's your favorite. And I think that's just like a really clever way of getting the people involved, you know? And then we're also going to listen to God of Music by Seventeen. And before I forget, we'll do the PSA after after God of Music, right at the end, okay? But God of Music by Seventeen, the promotional schedule they did for this was kind of crazy. They released a video with Going 17, their, again, variety show, where it was basically like a skit, like a very, very long skit where they produced like a parody of like a trot parody of the song, and it was so popular that they also released it on Spotify. It's really funny. But yeah, let's get into it. Boom by NCT 127.
A bunching, lose it all for not with you. Trading anything but my dreams come true.
왠지 좋았어, baby. 그림처럼 다시 네가 거기 서 있던 날.
So that was God of Music by Seventeen. All right. So, before we forget, our PSA. let's see. 91.5 FM is college and community radio no matter where you are in eastern Massachusetts. If you're driving northeast from Tufts, check out some underground radio over at WUML in Lowell, broadcasting from UMass Lowell. If you're driving southeast, tune in to hear a lot of great programming over at WZLY in Wellesley, broadcasting from Wellesley College. Support community radio by tuning in and engaging with local stations. And remember, if it's 91.5, then it's good college radio. A message in the public interest from WMFO Medford Tufts Reform Radio. To go along with that public service announcement, I have an additional public service announcement that there's a lot of shows, exhibitions going on at SMFA right now. The Senior Thesis Show will be opening on May 8th in the Anderson Gallery. I highly recommend going to check it out. It's going to be so cool. There's also the ISS class, which is Intermediate Studio Seminar, I believe. They have their opening reception tomorrow on Friday from 6 to 9, and it's at the Piano Craft Gallery. I highly recommend going to check it out. They're doing so much cool stuff. And I think I'm going to go as well. So I highly recommend checking that out. Okay, we have like 3 minutes of extra time. And in that extra time, I'd like to say a huge, huge thank you to all of my listeners who have persevered through my yapping and who have stayed loyal listeners. Especially shout out to my aunt and uncle for always listening. Thank you. I love you guys. I won't be back for a little bit as I'll be abroad in London. But yeah, I'd like to thank everyone for an amazing, beautiful semester. The weather is so sunny and beautiful right now. I highly recommend go checking it out if you get the chance. Let's see, what else? I am kind of in like the depths of finals right now. Unfortunately, I do have to go work after this, if you can believe. I planned out every single task I have to do for this entire week and for half of next week. That's the only thing really keeping me going. Not to brag, but I was in the studio until 3:30 a.m. yesterday. That's not good. I'm not bragging. But my painting is going well. Yay! Fingers crossed, a little sneak peek of what I've been working on. Oh, also, if you want to follow my art Instagram, please. It's at Janie, J-A-N-E-Y underscore jello dot art. I'm currently working on a little sneak peek. I'm making a music box that plays Every Time We Touch by Cascada. Yeah, it's a toughie, guys, because as I've realized, making music boxes is really hard, especially when you have a limited music box experience. Okay, but anyway, that's what I've been working on. I hope you guys are having a beautiful, wonderful, amazing, fantastic day. And I hope this sunny weather sticks around. If you saw from my Instagram story, there was a rainbow yesterday. What? Rainbow? It was actually crazy. I got on the shuttle and it was sunny here. I got to SMFA, it was raining. I came back, it was sunny. I was like, localized weather for you. But yeah, let's get into our last song. Our last song is Midas Touch by Kiss of Life. Kiss of Life is this new pop and girl group. They're going viral because they're kind of taking up the bad girl mantle, or like the grown girl mantle, grown woman mantle, after Blackpink is kind of MIA right now, because there's a lot of girl groups right now and they're all so young, and these girly pops are really taking it to the next level. And I highly recommend, again, checking out the music video, also their first album, because they've all been trainees for so long. They all had solos on the first album, which I think is really cool. Sugarcoat by Natty is really good. But anyway, Midas Touch, Kiss of Life. This has been Janie, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I'll see you all soon. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm a dog, I'm down with